This week on the Time Blaster Toycast, not only are we blasting back to 1993 to talk all things Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, but we're also hanging with Mr. Cooper. Musician Mark Cooper joins us for the journey back to when we were still learning their origins as Zordon and his teenagers with attitude, so let's get into it right after this break.
Welcome to the Toycast. Cue up the Super Soakers for the Time Blast. Make your tail spin from the launch pad. It's the Time Blast of the Toycast.
You can download this podcast on all major streaming platforms, including Apple, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to check out the official Toycast YouTube channel at Time Blaster Toycast. To stay up to date with us, please make sure to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Time Blaster Toys, also at The Retro KO. The Time Blaster toy line is now open. Leave us your reviews, thoughts, or comments via voice message, or you can shoot us a text at 734-494-2292.
My name is Dave, at Matthew Priest on social media, and we are ALIVE alive and kicking and morphing into action with the following Toycast, which is scheduled for your entertainment with a 60-minute time limit. So crack open a cold one. As I introduce today's topic, originating in Tokyo, Japan, is Super Sentai. These Zeo Rangers headed stateside, captivating American audiences in the fall of 1993. Their popularity, like any television show for kids, demanded toys. Hailing from Bandai America, by way of Irvine, California, now presenting the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. And now for your hosts. They're weighing in today with the stress of fatherhood and fanfare of figures with actions. Megazords are what they know, but Mega Person Bases and Mega Dads are what they are. In addition to being the reigning, defending Toycast Tag Team Champions of the World, at the Retro KO Joe, at Time Blaster Toys Keith, together known as the Time Blaster Toycast.
Okay, it's morphin' time, Joe.
Drove over here in the rad bug.
There we go. The rad bug. That's a classic callback.
It is, yeah.
So, guys, are you ready? It's 1993. We spent last year in 1993 talking TMNT, and now we're talking about MMPR, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
And why are we talking Power Rangers this week?
Well, it's a big week for Power Rangers, right? The Netflix reunion is just a few days away, so we're all stoked. We're all excited. The trailer looks great. And we just want to talk Power Rangers, right?
Yeah.
And we got a special guest, which we'll intro here in a minute. Before we get there, I think we got a review to read, right?
Oh, we do have a review. We have a review from Josh, and it reads, "Congrats on hitting a year on the podcast. That's a big milestone. You guys are doing great. I love that you kept it positive the entire time. It's so refreshing to hear a toy and sometimes food, movies, and holiday podcasts not get bogged down with negative news like so many others. You guys keep it light and fun, and you don't even curse. It's one that I don't have to turn off when my son is in the car, so I appreciate that. Thanks for the breath of fresh air every Monday."
Great review. Appreciate you, Josh.
Yeah.
And man, he hit all the keywords I want to hear, right? Makes him happy, can listen with his kids in the car. That's things that we set out to do each week.
Since day one, that was our goal.
And speaking of day one, I wanted to thank Josh personally because I remember when we dropped that first podcast a year ago, and I asked, you know, I put a call to action out on Instagram, like, anyone who listens, you know, please give us feedback. Let us know how it sounds or advice. And Josh was the first dude who wrote back with some constructive criticism, right? Yeah. And he's listened all this time. So
he's been down since day one.
You, dude.
Day one-ish.
Yeah, so pretty awesome stuff. Guys, it's morphin' time. Are we here?
I think so.
There's four of us today.
We couldn't have done this one alone. We needed to bring in a Power Ranger expert, so I'll introduce him here. Now, making his way to the Time Blaster Toycast toy aisle, today's guest and his articulation assassin, coming to you from Detroit, Michigan, please welcome a vanguard vocal virtuoso, a guiding light lyricist, a nerdcore specialist samurai, the man behind the Time Blaster Toycast theme song, a Mighty Morphin MC, it's Mark Cooper.
Pleasure, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Mark. We appreciate you. What'd you call Mark? A Mighty Morphin MC?
Yeah.
Dang, Mark. Put that on a shirt.
I'm going to have to steal that. And then a friend of mine, Super MC, shout outs to him. He actually said something. He was like, hey, just morph your life up. He's like, morph up. So shout outs to him. I love the phrase. I might do something with it.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. So yeah, Mark, again, we appreciate you for the theme song. We met months ago, and we had a vision, and I told you, Mike, I don't know how to speak in the world of music and you know, convey ideas. So my notes were probably random, but you made it all work. And then the first try, home run.
For real.
Appreciate it, man. I do what I can.
So, yeah, guys, let's set the stage. It's 1993, right?
Mm-hmm.
We talked about last week with TMNT. The start of the year in 93, Ninja Turtles is the number one franchise in the toy aisle. Had been for the, what, 3 or 4 years prior. And on the horizon, right? I don't think anyone anticipated that by year's end, Ninja Turtles would be second place. But they were. And it's because Mighty Morphin Power Rangers just kind of came on as a phenomenon, right?
Yep.
And the toys themselves, I mean, we've talked about it in the past, and there's a special on Netflix, The Toys That Made Us, focusing on the Power Rangers. But Bandai of America, prior to Power Rangers, their most successful toy was Crayons. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't...
Sidewalk Chalk.
Sidewalk Chalk. Like, they didn't make action figures. No. Bandai in Japan made action figures, but Bandai of America, it did not, so... Just wild to think how they can go from chalk to, you know, one of the hottest toys on the planet at that time.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have any memories, Mark? How about you? 1993, being a kid. Do you remember when Power Rangers first hit the airwaves?
Absolutely. I remember as in I was a first grader kind of thing.
Okay.
You know, like the whole... You know, in on the you know back when people used to play outside,
yeah.
But that was
good old days. You know,
yep, exactly. So it's always having your friends and be like, "Which ranger are you? Well, I'm the blue ranger. I'm the red ranger."
Yeah.
I was always the person like, "Look, I'm green, and that's just what it is. There's nobody else that gets to pick what they need to." But I remember those, and I remember like Christmases. Like like back when you would order things from like the Sears catalog and be able to, you know, there were many different ways to get those kind of action figures. Because normally it was either you go to Toys R Us and fight all the parents that were there last minute trying to figure it out, or you have them ordered in advance.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that, you know, both my parents did. My dad was the one that, you know, at certain times, like late at night, back when toy stores were open until midnight for Christmas Eves and stuff like that. My dad did that, but my mom was different and did the Sears catalog. So I was able to get the best of both worlds.
That's cool. Yeah, you had one parent on each end of the spectrum. And that's funny what you bring up is two topics that would be fun to talk about for a minute. But Toys R Us back in the day, you know, in the 90s, when it was the run-up between Thanksgiving to Christmas, Toys R Us was open till like midnight, 1 a.m., like every single day. You know what I mean? They were accommodating parents who maybe worked all day. They wanted, like, you could roll up at 11 p.m. and try to buy Power Rangers.
Good luck finding Power Rangers.
If they were on the shelves, probably not at that point.
You're hoping that truck came in.
You're hoping that truck came in real late that day, right? Yeah,
I feel like the madness for Power Ranger toys was instant after the show premiered, right? Like
It was instant.
Crazy
absolutely.
Chaos.
I think the hype was there before the toys even hit.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I can remember, honestly, the hype is what got me into Power Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like seeing how... many people wanted the toys, made me interested in the toys, which then led me to the show. So without that hype surrounding the toys, I don't know if I would have gravitated to the show.
You had FOMO as a child.
I had FOMO. Absolutely. Yeah. What are all these people hyped about, and how do I get equally hyped
about
them?
And I need them all.
So quick question for you, Mark. What Toys R Us were you hitting up for these?
Oh, the one on Telegraph. I used to live over in Southfield in that area.
Okay.
So the one that said Tel 12 Mall, I was the kid that went there, and then on Fridays, I would have maybe $5 or $6 or quarters and hit the arcade that was in the mall back when it was a mall.
That's cool.
That was when they had the I'm nostalgic. I apologize.
No, you're good.
You're at the right place.
Like back when the Kmart was connected to it, and you know how it was like a mall. Like even before Media Center and all that stuff, kind of. Montgomery Ward was there at that time.
You're speaking our language.
I know
here.
Dave heard the location of the Toys R Us you mentioned. I think he's reminded of my story that I'll share again always. That's the Toys R Us that I called when I was like 8 or 9 years old, and the lady told me that they had the Rockers figures in stock, WWF Hasbro. And I got my mom and grandma to drive me 45 minutes from Southwest Detroit to show up, only for the figures not to be there. End cap full of dusty roads. That lady lied to my 7-year-old self on the phone, Mark. I never went back to that Toys R Us. I never saw Power Ranger figures at that store.
sad story.
That's very sad.
But Mark, you're getting Power Rangers there. We're all getting Power Rangers. So Christmas 93, we talked before about how hard it was to get Power Rangers. Did you get any Power Rangers for that Christmas? Do you
absolutely
recall?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I bet you that was more on your mom planning ahead.
Nope. That was actually my dad pulling it at midnight at that time.
Dang, nice. He did it at the last minute, huh?
Yeah. That's
he impressive. Was Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jingle All the Way.
I believe it was that, and it was, I think he was able to snag a Genesis that year.
Oh,
that was a good year.
That's a great Christmas.
That's a good year for you.
Yeah, so let's just hit the Power Rangers real quick. So that first fall of 93, I mean, Power Rangers aired, I believe, August 27th is when the first episode aired in 93.
Yep.
Kind of goes right back with Back to School. And then only the five Rangers are released, but they're 8-inch. They're large boxes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Someone talk about these cool boxes.
That's the main thing, you know, and we've talked about it on many podcasts, of how back in the day, in the 80s and the 90s, toy companies, they wanted shelf space, right? Mm-hmm. So the packaging was key, and bigger was better was the idea. So Bandai, with these figures, with the 8-inch Rangers, it's one thing. That's that cool, iconic triangular box, mm-hmm. unlike any other action figure box before it.
Right.
But once we get to those space aliens, it's wild, man. Those boxes are four times bigger.
Ginormous.
They're humongous. They do not need to be that big at all. But yeah, in 93, at the jump, these figures, I know a lot of people think of Automorph and Power Rangers when you think vintage. That's 1994, so we'll talk about that in the next one. But 1993, those first Power Rangers that come out, they're 8 inches tall, quite a bit of articulation to them, but it's just the original five in those boxes, red, blue, black, yellow, pink.
And it's all the same mold, the girls, the Pink Ranger doesn't have a skirt.
Right.
It's all the same
It's the same exact body painted all five ways. Did you guys have any of these first five, Mark? You got Rangers Christmas 93. What Rangers were you rocking?
I believe I got... I think then when it was the five, I had the black, red, and the blue.
Okay.
For what I'm understanding,
mm-hmm.
and I believe those are the same ones where the hands moved.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're the ones that allow the fingers to move.
You're right. The first ones there is like articulate, so they can hold their gun.
The first finger's independent, and then the other three are together.
And even with that articulated hand, still that gun always falls out of their hand.
Always.
And I was figuring it out. They were making chalk like 3 months before.
Right.
What about you, Joe? Did you have those first run 8-inch
Not in 93.
Yeah.
Not in 93. It wasn't until the following year. And I'm pretty sure I had pink and red first.
Okay.
Which I was surprised that red was able to be found.
Yeah, you know red was the number one.
Yeah, number one off the shelf.
The start
yeah, but I only
time,
had those
yeah.
two to start with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think my younger brother had a couple. I don't remember. I personally didn't have any, especially. And he might have got one or two for Christmas, but I remember he got which we'll talk about in a little bit, but he got the Megazord for that Christmas. That was his big gift.
Yeah, I know I was backtracking. I've talked about it before. 1994 is when I really got into Power Rangers, so I was buying the Automorphin first. So I had those before I had the 8-inch figures. Eventually went back and got them all. They're cool. The only thing is, as far as scaling with the Zords, they're so big, right? Those first ones. But they're fun. You know, they're reminiscent of a WWF LJN, a big, giant 8-inch figure to go. You know, you got your Power Ranger going to battle with your monsters, or your evil space aliens, I should say.
Even though they tower over Goldar and stuff. You know?
Yeah.
I remember Mumra, Thundercats Mumra, also LJN, also 8-inch. My brother playing with... having the Power Rangers beat up my old Mumra.
That's
what I remember.
He fits right in.
Fits in as a villain of the week.
Perfect.
Speaking of villains of the week, why don't we rattle off this list of those first evil space aliens?
So four came out first, and then another three came out right before Christmas. It was the first four were Babu, Squat, Goldar, and King Sphinx, and then Bones, Putty, and Finster followed suit.
Yeah, all great. I mean, anybody got a favorite, Mark, if you were picking one out of those seven?
I think the one I really had was the Sphinx.
Yeah.
And I think that was around the time when they had the Sphinx and they had Scorpina. You know, that was kind of like the sub villains of, you know, of Goldar and his gang and everything. And then I personally had the Sphinx. I liked that a lot. It was just like an 8-inch toy, but it was actually made pretty well. It's kind of stiff. It wasn't really one that was really, you know, as flexible as the 8-inch Rangers were, but it was able to get the job done as a kid, so it worked out fine.
Yeah, that's all those evil space aliens. They're pretty basic, right? I mean, they've got arm articulation. The Putty, I think, is actually, I don't even think their legs articulate.
I don't think the legs.
I think it's literally just their arms. I think it got that hollow feel.
I think it was all rubber. You know, like the ones where you could be able to bend them, kind of like the OG wrestling stuff from the 80s, like kind of like the Rubbermaid ones where you can kind of mold them into place or something.
We've talked about before the way that they marketed King Sphinx.
I know. I feel like we got to hit it.
We got to hit it.
Just because if you go back and you look at 1993 Power Rangers, King Sphinx is everywhere.
He's on all the marketing.
He's on everything. He's on the lunchbox. He's on the raincoat. He's on the coloring book. He's on everything. And he's only in one episode. But the episode he is in is the pilot of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Mm-hmm. It's the episode that was sent to all the advertisers and the marketers. So they watch this episode, this pilot episode, in which King Sphinx looks like he's the main bad guy.
He does.
And they take that art and they just run with it. And King Sphinx is everywhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, his toy, as far as 1993 goes, there's no Rita Repulsa anywhere to be seen.
No.
Mark just mentioned Scorpina. Nowhere to be seen.
Right.
It's like, if you were just looking at how it was marketed back in the day, you would think King Sphinx was the top dog, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, his figure is cool. And those evil space aliens, they're cool. I mean, Finster, Babu, Squat, these are guys that are usually just hanging out with Rita, doing very little fighting of their own. Right. You know what I mean?
You know, the occasional comic relief in plot armor for, like, he creates all these monsters. Okay, so they didn't just think of it in thin air. All right, got it.
Yeah. It's a cool concept, right?
Yeah,
it's
a cool role. Squat and Babu are like the Bulk and Skull of Rita's crew.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So you got to have them.
Yeah.
And Goldar was the mainstay.
Goldar, to me, if you only had one, you'd want.
Got to have
personally,
Goldar.
I'd want Goldar out of that lineup.
He was one of my favorites, for sure.
He's a very cool character. But question on between the aliens and the Rangers. Mm-hmm. Were these molds from Japan that came over, or were these fresh creations from Bandai America?
All these toys were made in Japan first and just brought to America, especially in the sense of the Zords, which we'll talk about. And it's funny, like some of the Power Rangers toys, Titanus is one where it's date stamped 1991, I think, in Japan, because the Super Sentai, the toy had come out all those years prior.
Yeah.
But by the time it gets here, it's 93, 94. They never changed the mold.
It's a huge Zord, bro. like it's, I literally just got it a couple days ago. I mean, it literally this wide and about this tall.
So yeah.
Titanus is awesome.
He's awesome. A very little screen time on the show, right?
Yeah.
Anytime that carrier Zord came rolling in, they
you're
just
so weird. You got Titanus in your back pocket and you're not calling him out every time. Come on.
What do you think the original retail price for Titanus was?
Ooh, I love these
Megazord
questions.
Megazord was 30, so Titanus is...
I'm going to go $39.99.
That's what I'm thinking.
$10 more bucks. Exactly. Yeah, because, I mean, it was the biggest the biggest Zord, the biggest toy. Power Dome isn't out yet, the playset. Nope. That comes out next year. So, yeah, you got Titanus recently. You didn't have Titanus as a child, did
that
you?
That was the one I didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
I think I had the Megazord and the Dragonzord and the Tiger. But I mean, but that's later, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Titanus also came out in 93, and what was Titanus? Like, so give people the vision that they
like
can't picture right now.
Brachiosaurus.
Yeah, Brachiosaurus.
Zord.
Yeah, giant white Brachiosaurus called the Carrier Zord. Yeah. So when Megazord and Dragonzord would form together, they would stand in the back of Titanus, and he's kind of like their rolling stage, more or less. He stood in him. He rolled into the shot.
And it had guns on the side.
Yeah, it was an extra weapon.
Because that just made sense.
Giant guns, chains hanging from his neck. Really cool figure.
Yeah, they would go in him and they'd become the Ultra Zord. Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know they meant business.
When you say Ultra in the 90s, they definitely meant business.
So Megazord we've hit on. Like, there was two Megazords that came out in 93. Yeah. Your standard Megazord, and then you had the Deluxe Megazord.
I think of... Think back, and you know there's a lot of kids disappointed.
Oh my gosh, yes.
On Christmas 93, when Santa brought Megazord, and it was not the one that combines. You know, it wasn't the high end because that thing was impossible to get.
Absolutely.
And, you know, when people bring in their collections of Power Rangers to me now, that smaller 10-inch one, Mark, we were just talking about it, with the hands that pop off.
It's always missing the fist.
But everybody has that one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because that was like... That's
all you could get.
Yep.
It was only $10.
I had it. That's all you could get.
Do you guys have that as a kid?
I did.
My younger brother had that, but when the site had the original retail price, only $10. So, of course, parents are like,
it's a no-brainer.
I'll get that.
Yeah. And it's as tall. How long tall is it?
Ten inches.
Say it's barely bigger than a Ranger.
I feel like it is just barely bigger than the actual
Rangers.
They
build them a little taller.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then the Deluxe Megazord, what made that one so special and different?
For me, as a kid that didn't grow up with Transformers, I don't know about you guys. Mark, did you have Transformers as a kid?
Not usually. I kind of missed that era. Like I was born in 87, so a lot of the, you know, Transformers stuff, if I wasn't watching it, my cousin that had the, you know, the VHSs of, mm-hmm. you know, that's how I knew about, you know, what came to He-Man and all that, but not in a regard where I would know a lot about it. Yeah. But I'd never got a chance to really dive into Transformers, no. So Power Rangers was probably my first for transformation-based mm-hmm. toys that I had.
I'm with you, too.
I'm with you, too.
Yeah. I mean, I was old enough to be around for Transformers, but it just didn't, I don't know. I just wasn't into it in the 80s. So to get my hands on a toy that can transform on its own, it's five individual Zords that are mm-hmm. all awesome, but you put them all together, you create this giant Megazord. It was the first time I had anything like that in my hands. I loved those toys. Loved them.
And you got to the point as a kid where you could just close your eyes and put them together.
Oh, like, yeah.
It's nothing. Love that
yeah,
toy.
That first Megazord is so iconic. To this day, super valuable. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like everyone, that's, of all the years of Power Rangers that have come since, there's been some iconic Zords, but nothing beats that original Megazord. Mm-hmm. It's like the archetype that everything's been based on.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So it's each Ranger's Zord. So let's take it from bottom up.
Let's go.
What Zords make the legs?
Well, let's start with the legs. You got the Triceratops and the Sabertooth Tiger.
Here's my question.
Who's the Zeus?
Who's left and who's right?
Triceratops is right.
You're 100% on that?
I feel like
I don't think I... Mark? Not sure?
The Triceratops on the left. I believe the...
I'm about to pull it up, y'all.
Pull it up.
The Sabertooth Tiger's on the right.
Oh. So who had the Triceratops?
I probably never put the right leg on the right side anyway.
Triceratops is the Blue Ranger. Billy the Blue Ranger Zord is a Triceratops. It's one of the legs, definitively.
Yes.
Is it left or right? We're finding out.
The Sabertooth Tiger was Black Ranger?
No, Sabertooth Tiger is the Yellow Ranger.
See, this is why I ask the questions for those listeners out there.
Sabertooth Tiger is right. Triceratops is left.
That's what I thought.
Okay. Yeah. There we go.
So Mark he's a Power Ranger fan. He knows.
We call him an expert for a reason.
The reason why is because for the Triceratops, when they made it, was a little bit bigger, as in for the foot, than it was for the right. For the,
right.
Yeah.
And Triceratops has those little horns that are always mm-hmm. missing.
Oh, when you find a metal. Just like
Sabertooth Tiger's got the teeth. Those little teeth that are
hanging out for those. When
those are usually
them.
Some of the first things missing.
So what's the torso?
I'll let Mark take this.
All right.
Torso would be the chest piece is the actual pterodactyl, mm-hmm. and then it's connected with the arms. That's with the mastodon, and then tries, you know, the actual Tyrannosaurus Rex is the head.
Yeah, that was a kind of a tough question because technically the torso is three.
It's all three.
Right.
It's
all three.
I mean?
Okay.
But the main body is the T-Rex.
Yeah, they have like two different forms where it comes to it. So they got them all separated. Then they have this wheel where they're all sitting almost like a wheelchair kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. That is an odd formation.
Huh? Right. And then it actually has you stand up and it puts it together. So technically the head would be the, you know, the pterodactyl because it comes down, but technically it's the...
Yeah. Yeah, the Triceratops is the base, right? Tyrannosaurus Rex, Red Ranger, is the base that everything else kind of mm-hmm. forms onto. The Black Ranger, the Mastodon clips on the back to create the arms.
The head's the shield.
Yep, the head's the shield. Pterodactyl is the chest plate. They kind of all come together.
Yeah.
Tyrannosaurus' head has little ears that pop out on
the side.
Awesome toy. Awesome toy.
He has a big giant sword, right?
Oh,
yeah,
huge
the power sword man.
From the sky.
Yeah.
How does he get the sword? He just reaches up.
It just shoots from the heavens, Dave.
I just came from God.
Was that ever like explained in Power Rangers? Like why he just gets?
Well, Zordon always said the powers came from the power grid. So whatever the power grid is.
Okay.
I think of it like Tron. Like it's something crazy, you know.
Hey, we'll roll with that. I love it.
I would ask for it before we start fighting.
Right. But, you know. It's like why don't the Rangers just start with that?
Right.
We had 6 minutes to cover. So,
speaking of the power sword, let's talk about the cosplay, like the role play type of stuff for a minute. So, I know in 1993 that first set, the power gun sword with the morpher comes out, mm-hmm. and I don't think there's any one like child role play toy that more kids would want than a power morpher, right?
Yes, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, outside of, like, real Ghostbusters Proton Pack,
yeah.
name me a toy that, like, just one toy that is in essence like everything about the series. That's if you were a little kid and you had the Morpher, you were like the coolest kid on the block, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, five interchangeable coins in that thing, makes the sounds, makes the lights. I love that thing.
But Bandai of America kind of skipped out because the Japanese version had the belt clip, so you could actually attach it, you know, to your belt.
Oh, yeah. See, ours
we didn't get that.
Yeah, we got the little handle where you would just kind of hold it in your hand.
We couldn't attach it to our belt.
Did you guys have that as a kid?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, Mark, do you have one as a kid?
Yeah.
I did not. However, you was talking about the coolest kid on the block. I remember a kid bringing that in for show and tell.
Ooh, man.
And he was the coolest kid in class.
I believe it.
For that day. It's like, man, you're the first one to have Power Morpher and the sword. And yeah, they were a cool kid.
Damn, he brought the gun in, too?
He brought, yeah.
Back when you could bring a gun.
Back when you could.
It's a knife. No, it's a gun.
I mean, this thing's red and it takes a 9-volt battery.
Totally plastic. Yeah, totally plastic. But yeah, it's. Yeah, it was a
the power gun sword is awesome though.
It's
because
awesome.
as the gun, it's super cool. But then you fold it and you pull the little
thing out.
Got a little knife that you can fake shank your friends with.
Yeah,
it's cool.
It's very cool.
Did the role play, Dave? The 5-in-1 blaster, is that 93?
I believe
I
that's
feel like that
feel like
probably
94. Okay.
That was 94. The only like role play was the Morpher and the gun sword. It looks like the other stuff's all spring of 94 or fall of 94.
Yeah. Well, that'll be fun to talk about next time.
And they called it the Blade Blaster in the show. Why didn't they call the toy that? They call it a power gun sword.
Yeah.
Why?
It's wild that it's called that, right?
Call it the Blade
Did
Blaster.
Did it have anything to do with IP for that?
It may have.
Yeah, it could have.
Or maybe they were, what is it called?
The Blade Blaster.
Blade Blaster. I mean, that explains exactly what it is.
Maybe they thought maybe kids they wouldn't know.
Maybe Blade Blaster's too ambiguous. They're like, maybe. Not Blade.
Dumb it down.
Not Blade Sword.
Right.
Not Blaster Gun.
Because it's not a sword.
It's a gun. It's a gun sword.
It's a gun shake.
I think it's marketing, and they're putting power on everything. Power Rangers. So they want to get that word power on everything they can possibly put.
Yeah. Kind of like American Gladiators, had that laser, blazer, phaser. like you don't remember who they are. Just know they are a
jacked brother with a mullet and
a action, you know, like an action word or something.
So yeah, I mean they also had battle bikes. The power battle bikes for the Power Rangers was the other means of transportation these toys could have had, and you had the Mammoth, the Triceratops, and the Tyrannosaurus.
It is funny how since the inception, every year of the Power Rangers toys, they always found a way to release the bike with a figure.
Yeah.
Like, excuse me, the bikes did not play a pivotal role
in the
series,
like two
right?
episodes maybe.
But if based on the toys, you'd think they were super important.
And it was later.
Yeah.
I don't think it was in the, I don't believe it was in the first series when they really, first season. I think it was like second or third when they started doing that.
I would believe that. And if they, you know.
Unless those
remembers?
Were the shark cycles. Those might have been later.
Well, at one point, I believe it's in 94. Remember they re-released the bikes and then they have the little sidecar on them?
Yep.
And then they were kind of packaged as like Black Ranger and Yellow Ranger's bike together because Trini got the sidecar to sit in while Zach rode the bike.
Yeah, right. Zach didn't let her drive.
Yeah, and then later you see VR Troopers do the same thing. You're like,
well, yeah, of course.
Like, all right.
They had a concept that worked, so they just ran
with
it.
Not going to fix it.
It also, going back to the Japan thing, knowing that the footage of the Rangers was from Japan and the toys were from Japan originally, maybe the bikes were a hot seller in Japan. And they just were like, we've got these sold. We'll just throw them out here in the States.
That's exactly it. And they wanted to appeal, like, they wanted to appeal to every kid possible. You know what I mean? Give them bikes. Give them robots. Give them a gun sword. Give them a morpher. Give them a figure. Like, you know, if you're into any sort of
all that.
Yeah. If you're into any sort of play, we got you covered in this toy line.
Right.
And the last thing that came out, which is probably what we're going to talk about in the most detail, and then we can highlight everything else in more depth, but the Dragon Zord with Green Ranger.
Heavy hitter.
That's it. We had to double check our facts to make sure it was 93. This had to have come out at the end of 93. Super late, right? Because,
it had to have, yeah.
Because there was a period of time where Green Ranger wasn't even a part of the show to have a toy. But I know, like, Mark's already hit on it. You and I have talked about it a million times. Green Ranger was
number one.
Was everything, right?
Number one,
so to get his figure and his Zord, the Dragon Zord is so cool and iconic. I just love that toy.
I'm trying to convince your mom, like, I need this figure. The only way to get it, you got to get me Dragon Zord, too.
Yeah. See,
that was like, a big purchase.
Yeah. She's like, what? No.
I got to buy this.
I got to buy a whole Zord to get
Where's
this
triangle box.
But he's got that shield that clips on,
yeah.
Always breaks off. Do you have Dragon Zord, Mark?
Of course I did. that was like one of the things between Deciders and anything else. I just remembered I didn't not just had that, but I also had the VHS series with all part, all five parts where they would actually have it. Yeah. And I still have the OG one I got as a kid to this day.
Oh, wow.
Which is the episode one, which is the one where, you know, that shocked the world. Like, because before you already watch certain shows and they have little cliffhangers. Be, oh, my God, a part two. You know, like when you see, like, if it's with Transformers or TMNT or any of those. But that was one of the ones where it's like every single kid was in dead shock. It was like they lost and it was one person and it's a ranger too. Yeah. And then that's what everybody was, you know, kind of losing at that point because they thought it was just a five-part series. They're like, okay, great. But then you see part five and they're like, oh, we're going to be a team now. They're like, they're teaming up. And then that's when people lost it. And they were like, you know, put these toys out now. Put them out now. And then that was like around that November, December time. So
back when they would waste the VHS tape for one episode.
They knew they knew what they were doing. Yeah. They could have put that whole series on one tape.
That
they're
had
gonna
to have
drag
been one
you
of
out.
The one of the first times we had a miniseries like in a kid show. Like
I was gonna
that,
say it was probably a lot of kids' introduction to like episodic like,
oh my God,
episodic
come
storytelling.
Back.
I mean that's how G.I. Joe was originally, like the first five episodes they would release as like a VHS and it was like Rise of the Cobra, maybe, and then it was the next five. They all had their own. Like, I think that's how I know that's how G.I. Joe was, and I assume that worked with American audiences. So, like, let's just do it with Power Rangers.
Yeah, especially when they adapt the whole PSA thing, because you know, they went through that huge controversy of kids fighting other kids in school.
We all were doing.
And so they started doing those PSAs and episodes. It was I like the way that the Ranger franchise attacked everything in the most positive way that they could. Having PSAs saying, like, you know, about bullying and, you know, seeing what they see on TV, just understand that it's not real. It just gives, it gives parents that reassurance. It's like, look, we're not training your kids to be tormental individuals on the playground, you know, but it's also giving you the idea of letting people know, hey, this is something that's fun, it's something that's positive, and it's something that's saving the world. So I like when they do that. I like when they bring the environment and talk about certain things they can do in their communities about it. I just like how they turn that particular thing as in it's heroes, but you can do the same thing.
Right.
And that's what's cool about it.
We're all at home watching our Jason David Frank karate tape. And then we're ready to go.
We're all ready.
Been practicing.
Yeah. Speaking of the kids fighting, it made me think of how many heart punches were taking place trying to explode kids like putties. Stan Stasiak proud out there.
The kicks from the monkey bars, I remember.
Oh, yeah. The Rangers loved to fight on the playground, so we were all reenacting that stuff. Yeah.
That was always something I always wondered. It was like, did they ever think about that? Then I thought about it. I was like, you know, that could have been the Sentai footage. Then I thought about it. I was like, it wasn't.
It wasn't. They were filming that here.
They always fought there.
Always in the park. Putties love to attack in the park.
Angel Grove Park must have been a portal.
A nicely lit daytime park. You know, going back to the show itself in 93, you know, researching these toys, you're on Google and you're bringing up images and I'm seeing images of the cast at Ernie's Juice Bar, right? You know what I mean? And I'm just like, just a great idea for a show, right? Because we all grew up watching stuff like Saved by the Bell or Hang Time or, you know, like all those NBC Saturday morning live action, you know.
High school kids,
right? And you take this, you know, you humanize these characters. It's like you're watching Saved by the Bell and you're mixing it with like this just awesome show. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you make them superheroes.
It's just an awesome concept that worked so well and it's just so so 90s, right? That footage at Ernie's Juice Bar. Like,
dude,
take me there. Take
menu
me to Ernie's Juice
had.
Bar.
What was crazy is that they showed it twice a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was able to catch it early in the morning because this is around when, like, you know, Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad was put on before it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, school started at 8 o'clock, but they aired it at 7 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So you were already amped and ready to go
at
7 o'clock, but then you came home, it came back on at 4.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you were able to catch up where it needed to be, and then it would be on two different time, you know, time things. Yeah. I think it was like, what, four or five episodes behind or something when they go from the morning in the afternoon.
Yeah.
That way, you know, they'll be like, previously on Power Rangers. And then even if you didn't remember that episode, you didn't see it, you got a chance to see it again.
Right.
I always wondered how they decided when they did the episode stuff. I know we had to, of course, the, you know, the TV guide before the television screen. We had the one we had to read in the book to get an idea. But
yeah,
yeah, I always wonder what their timeline was for when they did that.
Yeah, I mean, the show itself being such a success so quickly. You mentioned Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad. Mm-hmm. That's a mouthful.
It is.
Guys, and then VR Troopers, and then Big Bad Beetleborgs. Mm-hmm. Like, once... not Bandai. Bandai's a toy maker. Saban. Once Saban had that, you know, formula figured out, they were just plucking pieces
from... Copy-paste.
Yeah, you know, and air this one before it, and air this one after it, and... Some of them had success, others didn't, but nothing replicated the success of Power Rangers. You know what I mean? Like, that is a juggernaut in and of itself.
Going back to the Dragon Zord with the Green Ranger, we jumped into the show talking about it, but on that toy, let's deep dive into that toy. So you're getting the Zord with the Green Ranger.
Yeah.
How big is the Ranger? Is he 8-inch like the others?
Same exact figure as all the others. Except he's got armor that clips on the front and back of his chest, like that green shield, power shield.
Came with a little toy dagger and the gun too, and it had the holster and
the Dragon Zord. The only critique on that Dragon Zord is it is not very big.
No,
but in its defense, it does clip on and fit on Megazord as it should. But when you unbox it, it can't be more than an inch taller than Green Ranger. They're almost the same size,
and it lights up.
Yeah.
And it gives little power, you know, those things. And I wonder, I don't think that's the one that had the actual missiles you could shoot with it.
No missiles on this one. Yeah. It just lights up. And does it make sound?
Yes, it does.
It does.
Yep, it lights up. And then, you know, but I don't think it does anything like the, you know, the dragon flute or anything like that. But I just know that it does light up and make some kind of battle sounds with it.
So the only way to get Green Ranger 93 is with the Dragon Zord.
Only way. They knew what they were doing.
He's three times the price of the other Rangers.
Well, you're getting a Zord with
him. He's more expensive than the regular Megazord, but almost the same price as the Deluxe Megazord.
Yep.
And to complete your set, you need him.
And everyone gladly paid it.
He is the main event. He's the man.
It was for a while.
Yeah.
So talking about the toys, there is the one line, Dave, that we just realized is also from 93, which are the little collectible 2.5-inch PVC guys.
Yeah.
And we got to hit on those because, well, one, they exist, and they're not bad, but it's like the consolation prize of Power Rangers back in the day.
I was that kid.
Because it was, if everything else was sold out, these... You had a chance at finding these.
Mm-hmm.
So, Joe, you were a child who...
I got the consolation prize, and it was Finster, and that was the first Power Ranger toy that I ever got.
One single 2.5-inch PVC figure of Finster.
That's what I took home.
The only thing that was available.
So I just looked on the back of the card and just dreamed about what I could have.
You got there one day. So the lineup of those... pretty straightforward. You're going to get the six Rangers. You can get a Green Ranger in that style figure. You're also your first action figure opportunity at Alpha 5.
Yeah,
which is awesome. Which is cool to have because you're only going to be able to get him a year later with the Power Dome playset.
That figure is awesome.
It is awesome. And then the villains, there was King Sphinx, Goldar, Squat Babu, and Finster in that style. So, you know, they're cool. Like, it's just solid. You know, it kind of looks like it could be a... It's like Happy Meal toy or a cake topper or a pot, you know, something you pulled from a bag of cereal.
That's
what I mean?
Yep.
But if it's all you got, it's all you got.
They made money.
So what'd you do with that 2.5-inch Finster?
I don't know. Probably put them on the dresser and just left them there. I couldn't tell you.
I mean, look at it this way. I mean, you were able to get the toy. You know, a lot of other people weren't able to get that.
Couldn't get
nothing. Some people were getting the bed sheets and the coloring books. Yeah. And even though those are all cool, funny story is that I was talking to my dad a couple months ago, and he showed me something like, hey, son, I got something to show you. He had my old bed sheets from 93.
Oh, cool. Yeah?
Yeah.
Twin size.
Yes. Yes. I definitely could. It wasn't no king. I know that. But it was actually pretty cool to see when it came to that kind of thing.
That is cool.
Yeah, you're right. Bringing that up, I wouldn't even think of that. Is, you know, the marketing blitz, Power Rangers was everywhere.
And that style of artwork, that hand-drawn artwork, my favorite.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
In those things, like bed sheets and T-shirts, that had to have been on their radar early summer, late spring, to know that for Christmas this was going to be a hit.
The amount of money that had to go in there had to be frightening. They like thinking about as a person who's, you know, like head of, you know, marketing operations for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And literally spent that had to be some millions of dollars to do that.
Oh yeah.
It didn't, you know, just for a show to have that and then I mean, as a marketing major, it didn't have to spin it in a 2 months time to be like, we're gonna need this Dragon Zord thing. We're gonna need like half a million of these. We need that by Christmas. Mm-hmm. And then just literally up production and stop everything else because they, you know what I mean?
It's like they're probably you're looking 24/7 at TV viewers.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, because working in logistics, I mean, I a lot of the stuff, especially when it's shipping overseas, it's going on boats in like July and August to ship to make sure that they have enough
supply to meet demand
exactly for the Christmas time. So they would have had to know before the show even aired that there's going to be a high demand to start getting it in there. But I think they ran out because we said Christmas was hard to even come by lot of the Power Ranger stuff.
Demand exceeded supply.
Oh yeah,
and it was like that way for the first 2 years.
Yeah,
you know what I mean,
they
couldn't make enough toys, and they were making them 24/7. And
yeah, because I remember as a kid, you know, you're a kid. So, you know, I went to go play outside or something like that, and I left a Dragon Zord in the car.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean? And my dad was livid. Like, you know, he was like, it's like, son, you have no idea how hard it is to get this thing.
Yeah.
Because there will be, and it's not even just kids, there will be grown adults that will break into people's cars and stuff and take those because they know about the value of what they have.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's nuts and a phenomenon to see that. Like, I mean, I don't know if it was like that in, you know, directly in the '80s with certain like Optimus Prime or Megatron toys or anything like that. I don't know if it was that vicious, but I do know in the '90s where it came to toys and they understood the rarities of those things. Mm-hmm. And they were like, oh, we can actually get some kind of, you know, some kind of opportunity out of this.
Right.
And that's where the whole collector's, you know, spirit came in. Like, you know, the heroes that enjoy collecting it because they like it, and then the ones that are like, nah, we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
We're going to try to capitalize some way.
I mean, that's always been present. That's like a scene straight out of any movie that we see from the 80s or 90s based on Christmas where it's like this guy in a dimly lit underpass with his trunk open with whatever hot Christmas toy. Right. You know, this is pre-internet. This is pre-Craigslist.
Trench coat open.
And I can remember. It's always a trench coat. I can remember this. I don't think it was Power Rangers. I think it was more N64, but it could have been Power Rangers. It was like mid-90s, and I can remember, you know, Christmas time, driving down Eureka Road, Southgate Toys R Us, and like a dude is in the parking lot with his trunk open with like a sign, like he's got whatever, you know, like
he just
waited in
it.
Toys R Us, he bought it, he went out to his car, and he's gonna sell it to you in the parking lot, you know, at a premium. So yeah, but Power Rangers is definitely a toy line that would have fit the bill for that. You know, there were people making bank.
I feel like nothing was as crazy until Power Rangers came along. Like even Ninja Turtles, they were super popular, but you could find everybody.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, you're right. No, because it was, I know we say it's overnight, but it really was because the show was such a hit so fast and there were no toys available prior. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a hit as soon as it came out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because the Ninja Turtle kids were graduating from cartoons to live action.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like we had
That's right. And because of, if you can think about it, with the having the, you know, the live TMMT movies coming out where it was just giving you that, wow, they're not just cartoons. They're fighting real people. And
then
Power Rangers like, yeah, but we do it every day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then that's where the actual fandom and, you know, the popularity kind of stemmed from that.
Mm-hmm.
So technically, you know, you would think of Turtles were kind of like the forefront that did that portion of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Rangers just took off and like, okay, I got it. We're going to go into a robot too.
And at the same time, it's like,
yep.
You can be fans of a turtle and you can, you know, like, you can aspire to be a Power Ranger. These are human kids, right?
Yep.
These are teenagers with attitude.
Yeah.
You know, you're watching Saved by the Bell and you want to hang out with Zach and Slater.
Yeah.
You watch Power Rangers, you want to be at Ernie's Juice Bar. You want to be these guys. And then they're going to morph into these, you know, superheroes on top of it. You know, they're teenagers. They're a little older than you. It's something you aspire to be. Man, one day I want to, it just hit on everything that a little kid would just look up to and want to be a part of, you know?
Yeah.
And to Mark's point, the PSAs, that was a big, big change because Turtles didn't have that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from G.I. Joe to Power Rangers, there's your PSAs.
It was an era of, from Power Rangers fighting stuff to the Mortal Kombat era, all that, all those all that violent space things.
The 90s,
that's where all the rankings and all the stuff came in with shows where they were like super important with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
So before we take this home, we're going to hit our top three for 93 Power Rangers.
I'm ready.
Top three.
Out of everything, right?
Out of everything. Okay. Out of everything. Yeah, everything we talked about toy-wise, top three.
Gotcha. I already got it.
All right, well, we'll go with one. We'll go around the horn with one each.
Let's have our guests go first, huh?
Yeah, what's your favorite single release from 1993?
You could go 3-1 if you want.
Okay.
Yeah, let's build up. Go 3-1. Up.
3-1?
Yep.
Okay, so for three, it would be the... it'd be the Morpher.
Okay.
For two, it would be the Dragonzord combo. I know that hurts for me to say that. Wow. But number one is definitely the Deluxe Megazord, just because of
all the
things that it was able
to
do.
A little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mark, our lists are very similar because those were the three things in my head. My ranking's a little different. Number three is going to be Dragonzord. Awesome, iconic toy. Two is the Morpher. You have to have that Morpher. You know what I mean? Like, it's everything. It turns you into a Power Ranger. It links you to the show, to the universe of Angel Grove. And then number one's that Megazord. It changed everything. Once I had that Megazord, I wanted every Megazord after that. Mm-hmm. Give me Thunder Megazord. You know, give me Shogun Megazord. Give me all of them.
My number three. I'm going Goldar. 8-inch Goldar.
Yes.
You got to have a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
To battle your Megazord.
Right.
Who's my number two? The Deluxe Megazord. And number one is the Dragonzord, Green Ranger.
Nice.
Yeah.
I defer. I didn't have any of the toys as a kid, so I can't really speak on them.
Right. Just an iconic toy line, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it was fun to hit Power Rangers year by year, because we've talked about it in the past, but there's so many cool toys that deserve a deeper discussion. So we can do this for a couple years. You can definitely get a 94 and a 95 out of Mighty Morphin. 96 is when you're going to start going to Zeo. But just great stuff. And Mark, we appreciate you being here with us.
Yeah,
appreciate you having me.
Where can the listeners hit you up at?
Oh, simple. It's Mark Cooper. So it's ITSMARKCOOPER, and you will go far, superstars.
Mark, any upcoming shows, any releases, anything you want to tell the listeners about?
Oh, yeah, sure. Actually, the 20th, I'll be in Hantramck with Schaefer the Dark Lord and Coolsey at the Sanctuary performing. What else is up? Of course, I have a whole Power Ranger project. It's called Ranger Raps the Redux. So I did like the whole Zordon era project. That's all available everywhere, Spotify, you name it. I'll actually have... some actual official CDs pressed up this week.
That's cool.
So if you guys were interested and you follow, just let me know. Let them know that you came from this toy cast and see if we can get you some discounts and stuff.
Yeah, Mark, you got to get me a few copies. I'll try to sell them in here because
I got you.
Mark's music, guys, is so awesome. Listeners of this podcast, clearly you're into 80s and 90s nostalgia, pop culture, the stuff that we're into. Mark raps about this stuff all the time. Like he said, he has a full album about Power Ranger raps, the whole thing, and they're all great.
And it's all good for kids because there's no swearing at all in it.
Yep, it's great, man. Awesome stuff, Mark. We appreciate you. Thanks again for the theme song.
No problem.
So cool.
Yep, and next week, we are taking your questions, we're providing you with some answers.
We are. It's Q&A number four.
Number four already.
And number four, and we got a special guest, right, guys?
Do
we want to drop it on the podcast listeners right now?
We could.
Who's going to join us next week?
I think a teaser is already out. It dropped yesterday. You could probably put two and two together. the toy store was featured heavily on Sunday, the 16th of April, mm-hmm. on a certain toy vlog that you can watch on the YouTube.
I'm just going to say it.
Go ahead.
Guys, pro wrestler, AEW star, All Ego Ethan Page was in the shop filming a vlog, and we got him to sit down with us for a few minutes.
We did.
Had an interview, talked about growing up in Canada, buying toys, talked about his favorite toy lines. So we're going to drop that bit in the middle or somewhere along the episode next week. Q&A. Can't wait, guys.
Yeah, and check out his toy vlog. You can see the store featured in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Catch you next week.
Welcome to the Toy Cast.
Toy Cast.
Cue up the super soakers for the time blast.
Time blast.
Make your tail spin from the launch pad.
Launch pad.
It's the time blast of the Toy Cast. We know the facts well, straight out the half shell. Bringing that TGRI in the landfill.
Yeah.
Three Caballeros on the move, no duck bill. Cause they're the Wright brothers to take flight. It's so real.
Real.
Every time last guaranteed to cover that. Be kind of rewind like Blockbuster back.
Yeah.
Got reviews, have you looking for the red flag and bigger noses than Mark Summers on the show hand.
Double
so get your notepad, we talking about collectibles. Your era to the seal, know the value's exceptional. As it can be from TV to the VHS.
Yeah.
Power Rangers, Star Wars,
yeah.
He-Man, Playsets.
Yeah.
Transformers, G.I. Joe with Destro.
Yeah.
Light Brights with the glow. Power from Nintendo.
Nintendo.
So many toys you will never know.
Never know.
Welcome to Toy Cast. Here we go.